there's some screaming going on that I can hear. You probably can't, because this is a sophisticated audio recording setup, so you don't hear the noise from outside, hopefully. But there's some screaming going on in the playing area of this housing estate. Older listeners will remember I used to live in a house where I recorded upstairs, overlooking a green area adjacent to a large wall, which I call the Cat Interstate Highway Wall. Well, it's a bit like that here, except I'm downstairs. I can't see a fucking thing of the outside world from here. Got my back to the window, and the window is at the back of the house and surrounded by high walls. But I do happen to know that at the other side of a wall, so where there's a playing area, don't get to see it, nor do I want to. I know there's screaming going on there. There's children screaming there. Don't worry, they're not getting murdered. Well, I don't know that for sure, of course. I can't check that from here instantly, just at the touch of a button. But no, it is a playing area, and there regularly are children there screaming. And usually what they're doing is playing some game, such as, for example, a football game. They have a football and they kick it around. You hear the foot hitting the leather sometimes. You hear leather hitting leather, or artificial plastic with a swoosh sign on it hitting artificial plastic with another swoosh symbol on it. So you know they're playing with the football, kicking it around, and they're screaming. Because apparently football is either terrifying or it's so exhilarating that you have to scream like you're on a roller coaster. And of course we all did that as children. Except me. I was a well-behaved child. I didn't go around screaming. I did enjoy my recreational time between school terms and after school. I didn't go around screaming my lungs off just because I was enjoying it. I only screamed when I was being bullied or beaten up or in danger of being eaten by a dog. Well, now that I think of it, I never even screamed in those situations. No, dogs aren't really scary when you're with other kids, because the dog usually belongs to one of the kids' families, for one thing. Although I was bitten by a dog in a friend's house once, and the mother went, "Oh, he only nipped you." Apparently nipping you is not the same as biting. It's just nipping you, and it's considered perfectly fine. Stupid little yappy dog nipped me. And this mother, who's taking on the responsibility of supervising a sleepover for several of the neighborhood's kids who are 9 or 10 or 11 years old, and she's decided if her dog bites one of them, he just nipped you, it's fine. He just put part of its flesh in between its teeth, bit down on it, and took a tiny bit off. It's okay. I don't know what's the difference between nipping you and biting you. I don't think there's any difference. I don't think there's any difference. It's like when Dracula comes along and you say, "Oh, Dracula is sucking my blood." It's okay. He's just taking small sips. It's perfectly fine. No, it's not perfectly fine. It's not perfectly fine at all to be taking small sips or small bites of another human being, especially a child. No. Anyway, how did I start this? Oh, yes, the children. There's children out screaming their heads off, like all children do, and that's fine. I accept as perfectly normal and de rigueur for children, even outside of France, it's de rigueur for children to go around screaming their heads off. I just don't understand why that's a thing. Don't worry, if you're in the neighbourhood here and you hear me talking about kids screaming, I'm not complaining. It's perfectly normal for kids children to scream like that. I'm just curious as to why whoever designed human beings would make that a thing, that the children scream all the time. If something terrible was happening to one of those children and they screamed, it would just be the child who cried wolf. I'm not a parent, but that sounds problematic to me. If your child is screaming all the time, how are they going to alert you or the authorities or anyone else that there's a problem? It's all a mystery to me. Records are back in vogue now. They call it buying vinyl just to confuse you. Then you have to ask. I think they do it on purpose. So you make yourself look stupid. You say, "Sorry, Do you mean you're buying floor coverings or what? And I say, no, me vinyl. You know, vinyl from back when we used to listen to music properly, as in with poor quality and scratchiness. And you say, oh, you mean like when they had poor floor coverings like lino and stuff that looked like shit. It was cheap and easy to install. Oh, I know this is the third episode in a row where I've talked about some house I lived in as a child. We moved around a lot. Get over it. It's a cool story. Where in the podcast would you hear a story about a house that you could have pissed all over wherever you wanted? No. I know there's loads of podcasts about houses, but there's none like this, so don't be start home with that shit. I don't know if you ever had lino in your house as a floor covering. We did. The toilets. Where else did we have it? Before that, now you might think that sounds a bit disgusting. Lino in the toilets. Toilets should be tiled. Well, we've got them tiled eventually. For a long time, you had lino in the toilets. There was a big improvement on what was there before, because what was there before was carpet. There was carpet everywhere, including both bathrooms, including around the toilet. If you went in to piss into the toilet, it was actually quite fun, because wherever you sat in the sitting room or the dining room had exactly the same carpet as had around the toilet. So you could go in and piss into the toilet and think, oh, this is just like I'm pissing in the middle of the sitting room in front of my parents. I'm pissing here, accidentally getting you onto the floor, because that's how male human anatomy works. We can't help it. I can help it even less now because I'm vision impaired. I've no idea where my piss is going. Most of the time nowadays, I sit down. Unless I'm at a urinal. Now, there's a particular men's public toilets in one of the two shopping centres in Black Rock in Dublin. The one that's in the main street. They have a men's toilet. You go in there, the urinals are at a very weird height. Whereby when I go in there, I always find myself missing. And I always get piss on the floor. I feel bad for the cleaners, but I don't feel bad for the owners. Because their fucking toilet that they've put in without designing properly also makes me get piss on my shoes or my trousers or both. So don't think it's a one-way thing where they're coming off worse. No, I'm coming off badly out of that too. So I probably won't go in there anymore. If I remember, they'll just go across the other place as across six lanes of traffic. But don't feel bad. The other place has a McDonald's. The other shopping centre across the road has a McDonald's. So it's worth the trip. So you're pissing on your carpeted toilet. You're looking at the carpet around the toilet bowl that is exactly the same as the carpet in front of the television in your fancy sitting room. You know you're going to get rid of those carpets anyway. You might as well just piss them away. Keep pissing on them until they're gone. Those were concrete floors in that house downstairs. All the floors were concrete, I've just realised, remembered. So in fact, we could have just pissed on the carpets all over that house and let them wear out. It would have been great fun. The previous owners had used it as a holiday home. And I'm starting to understand why now, because they had carpet all over it. They probably went in there for a week, a couple of times a year. I think they lived abroad. Probably spent the week pissing wherever they wanted, piss away to their heart's content in whatever room they wanted, knowing that they couldn't wear down the floors. They would just piss all over the shitty cheap carpet that's the same all over the house. You Americans call that a vacation, because you vacate whatever your normal routine is, whatever your normal duties, responsibilities and habits are. You vacate them and just let rip. So they vacated their responsibilities as careful urinators, I've assumed, and just pissed wherever they felt like it. I'm sure it was great. Anyway, this house at the time, the bungalow at the time, we got the attic converted later, but it was a bungalow. There was a toilet that had just a toilet, no wash hand basin or anything. It was just a toilet in the small toilet room. And then next door to that, there was a bathroom. The idea was you'd go into the toilet, supposedly, have your piss there, and then go into the bathroom next door and wash your hands there. You might even have had to queue to wash your hands then. But no, they had the same carpet in the bathroom, so presumably those filthy bastards who owned it as a holiday home just used both the toilet and the bathroom as self-contained toilet bathrooms and just pissed on the floor in both rooms. And whoever was in the bathroom, well, if they pissed on the floor, wait a minute. Yeah, if you piss on the floor, if you do it properly, you don't need to wash your hands. If you're not handling, wait a minute, do you though? I suppose if you are pissing wherever you want on the floor, you can do it in such a way that you don't need to wash your hands, genuinely. You're not putting anyone in any further danger of illness or disease. And then, of course, in the bathroom, which didn't have a toilet but did have a washhand basin, you could piss and wash your hands at the same time. Maybe you were washing your hands because you just come from gardening or handling raw chickens. You went in to wash your hands and decided, while I'm here, I'll have a piss on the floor right in front of the washhand basin. So you could do that. That would be great. You'd probably stop in mid-flow. I don't mean mid-flow of pissing. I mean mid-flow of washing your hands while the water's still running. You stop to zip up and then go back to washing your hands. Because if you are zipping up, then you don't want to be touching the taps with your hands. So you have the taps still on, though, so you can wash then. You're probably thinking, why don't you wait till you're finished pissing then to do your business? You're probably thinking, then why don't you just wait till you're finished urinating to start washing your hands? Well, I've just told you, you've been handling raw chicken. You've come in to wash your hands. You don't want to be setting yourself up for a piss when you've been handling raw chicken. Do I need to explain that to you? And you're probably thinking, well, wait, does that mean you've handled raw chicken in the kitchen somewhere and then you've touched every door handle between the kitchen and the bathroom? Well, that's a bit presumptive on your part. The doors were probably open. I know the kitchen was 3 doors away, but the doors were probably open from the kitchen to the bathroom. So you can easily get in there without touching anything with your raw chicken hands, if that's your concern. I hope you're not suggesting you wash your hands at the kitchen sink. You want us to urinate at the kitchen sink now? That's even worse. No. Just no.
If you're listening to this while queuing for an automated teller machine, I'd like you to try the following experiment, please. If you don't mind, and if it's not going to disturb anyone around you or freak them out or cause any problems for you or them, or cause any needless interaction between you and the criminal justice system and law enforcement, etc., 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 etc. Just be sensible about it, because I don't want one of my experiments to end up in the newspapers. This podcast doesn't need to be in the newspapers. This podcast was in the newspapers nearly 18 years ago now. It was in 2 of my local papers. So been there, done that. Don't need to be in the newspapers again. As it turns out, all you need to do to get a podcast into the local newspapers is start it before anyone in the newspaper industry has figured out what a podcast is, and then send them all an email saying, press release, something, 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 and then they email you back saying, oh, that sounds great, can you send me a big colour picture of you with your stupid headphones on and grinning like a Cheshire cat? And we put it in the newspaper with a little write-up. Two of them did that. It was great. Well, nothing good came of it. Barely got anything out of it. The people who read their local news on paper don't go looking for podcasts. The local newspapers here don't even have television listings. Let's not go down the TV listings route again. We've covered that several times before. Don't want to be getting repetitive. Because if you start getting repetitive, then you might as well just be a television channel yourself. You might as well say, 8:30 p.m. Coronation Street, 9 o'clock the news, 9:30 p.m. more Coronation Street, except it's a repeat, 10 p.m. the news, 10:30 p.m. I don't know what's on at 10:30 p.m. anymore. I haven't watched live television in some time. Linear television, as you young people call it. You call it linear television. You say, oh, look, that's television. They're putting it out in a row. They put all their televisions out in a row. They feed them out through this thing. They put the news out, and then they put the cartoon out, and then they put the reality show out. They just put them out like they're popping them in, out through one of those. Remember back in the old days? Well, you probably don't remember, because you'd have to be about 120 to remember this. Offices supposedly used to have this thing where you could send a message through a pipe. Back before email and faxes, you put the message into a pipe when they would come out in another part of the building. None of the messages that you put into the pipe I presume, can overtake other messages. If there's someone queuing to put something into the message pipe, they can say, would you mind if I go ahead? This is a priority. And of course, they do mind. They're not going to say anything. You have to work with those people, and more importantly, you have to hold on to your job. You're not going to say no. You put a message into that, and then it sucks it in. And presumably another message comes along after that that might be priority, but there's no way of overtaking. It's not that sophisticated. Suppose you could have two lanes, like a motorway highway thing. You could have two lanes in the same direction. And wait a minute, are those pipes two-way? Surely they must be, I don't. Or is it like a train with only one set of tracks and they can't be going two directions at the same time? You have to, one of them has to pull in at a station and let the other one pass before it pulls out again. I wonder how, I suppose that's kind of manageable. It wouldn't take too long for a message to get to its destination, so it wouldn't be a very long wait, I assume. That's why Elon Musk is, doesn't he got a pipe thing for shooting people from one American city to the other through pipes? I say shooting, I don't mean violently. Well, violently in the sense of it's not going to commit violence on its passengers. I don't mean that. It's not going to shoot them like that. But these capsules would be shot into these pipes. This ingenious system whereby you can travel underground in a tunnel in a, it was a carriage of sorts. Like when they used to have horses and carriages, they say, don't put the horse before the cart. Well, that doesn't make sense. The horse came into being tens of thousands of years ago. The horse evolved, presumably from some sort of dinosaur that looked a bit like a horse, but more scary. Maybe it could fly or something, I don't know. The horse evolved from that. The horse has been along for far longer than the cart. Even the first primitive wheel wasn't invented until much, much later than these animals evolved. So, yeah, the horse comes before the cart all the time. The horse was invented, waiting millions of years for us to invent something for it to pull so it could make itself useful. Of course, now we've all moved on to the motor car. There's no reason for horses at all. There has been no need for horses now for at least a century, so presumably they're going to die out over the coming couple of hundred years. None of them are going to be able to find any use for themselves. People are no longer buying horses as their main family commuter vehicle. I don't know what happened to the dodo, what was invented that made it redundant, but the dodo became obsolete presumably at some point. People stopped ordering dodos. They said, no, don't need a dodo anymore. Used to use a dodo as a messenger. But then they invented these suction pipes things for our office, so we don't need a dodo anymore. The dodo was very messy as a messenger system, I assume. Birds are messy. You don't want them flying around in your office. They make a mess. They make a mess. I presume they do anyway. Unless you don't feed them, then... Then what? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you feed them in the evening and then you put them in the cage overnight and they shit in the cage overnight. I've seen this in nursing homes. It's about an hour before it's time to give you your breakfast. They'll give you, not a sedative, a sedatory, you know, the thing that makes you shit. They give you one of them and then you do that in bed. And then they clean you up and that's your sword for the day. You're nice and clean for the day. So could they do that with the dodo, I suppose? Maybe they did do that with the dodo and that's what happened. It didn't work out very well. I don't know. Anyway, you're in the queue for a cash automated teller machine. You're in line. Now, I know that's a bit American, saying you're in line. But I'm being considerate to the me of the future, who doesn't like having to edit when I say that letter that comes between P and R in the alphabet. When I say it, it makes rather a hard C sound, which I go to the trouble of editing because I don't want to have to hear that on earphones and neither should you. Anyway, if you're in line for a cash automated teller machine, I'd like you to try turning around to the person behind you in the queue and saying, hello, would you mind if I go ahead of you? And they'll say, of course, you're already ahead of me. And you'll say, no, turn around first, though, and I'll ask you this again. And they'll look at you weird, of course, but then they'll turn around, because people who join queues, they're the type of people who do what they're told. So they'll turn around and you'll say, oh, thank you. Do you mind if we go ahead of you now? And they'll say, absolutely not, go ahead. And you say, oh, thanks very much. Go to the position behind them, and then turn around and face them. And they'll presumably turn around and face the machine again. So you'll be behind them in the queue. And I say, oh, thanks very much for that. So no, I'm going to say in line most of the time instead of saying in queue. It's not a line, though. It's a row of dots. A line of people is not a line. It's a row of dots. It's not a line until you connect them up. If you get one of those puzzles, those connect the dots puzzles, and nobody's done the puzzle yet, so they haven't drawn the line, that's not a line. That's a row of dots. In fact, it's a jumble of dots until you find where the line is, or else it wouldn't be much of a puzzle. So no, that's not a line. Americans, that's not a line. That's a row of dots. So don't call it a line. I'm only calling it a line because I don't want to say Q too much, because I don't want to have to edit myself saying Q too much later. But you Americans, you call it Q, or call it a row of dots. Oh wait, no, you can still call the Q for the ATM a line, I suppose. No, you can call a Q a line. The line for the ATM, though, you can call that a row of dots. I suppose it's somewhat connected now, because you and the person who's now in front of you after that interaction, I suppose it is somewhat more of a line now, because you made a connection with the person who was behind you and who is now in front of you. You've interacted with them. So I suppose that's somewhat of a line. Well, it's not really. You join the dots between you and that person, but then you turn yourselves around. And then the one who was behind got in front, and the one who was in front got behind. You've drawn a U-turn. You've confused everyone else in the line. So it's even less of a line now. It's more of a jumble of dots than ever. That's what it is. It's a jumble of dots with a couple of lines that are kind of joined up in a weird U-shape, like some child started doing the puzzle but couldn't figure it out and abandoned it. I suppose that's good for safety. An opportunist pickpocket who comes along there thinking, oh, there's some people in line for an ATM. They're probably all distracted. I'm going to pickpocket them. You look less like a line now, so you've got some. You're less noticeable. I got robbed in line for an ATM a couple of years ago, and I wasn't even in line. There was nobody else there. Took the money and ran away. Like that song. It's about 20 years ago, there was a song that used to be on the radio. The woman with her Northern Irish accent, I forget her name, who was on the radio a bit for a time. Oh, I'll take the money and run with you. I'll take the money and run. I'll take the money and run. That was the song. Now, suffice to say, you haven't really caused any trouble with the ATM other than confusing people a bit. But by confusing people a bit, you've also confused passing opportunists. You may well have prevented a couple of pickpocketings there. But the people who you've protected from being pickpocketed are never going to know that they were going to be pickpocketed. So don't expect any thanks for that. Don't expect any thanks. Unless you're very good at explaining yourself and you're very convincing, you can go up to each of them individually and explain to them in very detailed fashion. You realise I've just saved you from a possible mugging. Well, that's going to take a lot of time. More time than it's worth, for Christ. If you need any thanks, just take the thanks here from me. Hey, anyone who's listening, transmit a thanks to the person in the queue there. Say, thanks, good person. You got a couple of dozen thanks there. That should be enough for you. Don't do that stuff for thanks anyway. Do it because it's the right thing to do. Once upon a time, there was a dog. A dog. A dog. A dog. A dog. A dog. Basically a dog. And this dog, he was walking along the street one day, minding his own business, watching the world go by, wondering why it was going by so fast. Well, he was wondering why the people going in the opposite direction were going by so fast. The world was going by at a reasonably normal speed. He completely forgotten that he was walking too. He was assuming that he was standing still, watching all the people go by in the opposite direction. They were going at approximately 50% of the speed at which he estimated them to be going. He thought, oh, they're going by very fast. They must be in a hurry somewhere. Unlike me, they haven't got time to stand here watching the world go by. He wasn't standing there at all. He was walking in the opposite direction. For all we know, the people going in the opposite direction could have been thinking the same thing. Maybe they were thinking, that dog seems to be in an awful hurry. Where is he going? Except they weren't thinking that because the people were traveling in the opposite direction. They were moving. So they weren't thinking that at all. Unless there was one or two of them who had stopped to check their shoelaces or say hello to someone. And they'd absentmindedly forgot to get going again. And they were just standing there but forgotten that they weren't moving. Just like the dog did with the other pedestrians, they might have thought, oh, that dog seems to be in an awful hurry. No, he was walking at 50% of the speed in which they estimated him to be going. That's still probably quite fast. A dog's little legs, well, you can't generalize that, of course. Dogs have all sorts of different sizes of legs. Most of them have four legs that are pretty much the same size, but compared to others, dogs come in different sizes, very, very different sizes. In fact, a lot more different sizes than that in which cats come. Now, of course, a cat starts off small and goes through all the different sizes until it's fully grown. But a dog, when it gets to fully grown, that fully grown size could be absolutely fucking massive, or it could be absolutely tiny, or somewhere along the many points in between. But of course, you have a reasonably good idea of when it stopped growing if you know the breed, if you're familiar with the breed. I can probably look at most dogs. You can look at the dog and say, oh, that dog, it's small but it's fully grown. Or that dog, it's small but it's clearly a puppy. You can tell by looking. It just looks wrong, the appearance and the breed. You can say, oh, that's Jack Russell. That's not a puppy, that's a full-grown Jack Russell. It just looks full-grown even though it's small. So that's good. One less thing to worry about. You want the world where some things come naturally to you and you don't have to invent ways to deal with them or have to figure out systems and stuff. You want it to just come naturally to you, and that's good. Well, I would argue that that's a good thing. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you think, no, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. You want artificial intelligence in on this shit. You want an artificial intelligence that can look at a dog and say, hello, dog. And then the dog will say to the artificial intelligence thing, it'll say, hello, AI, what are you? And the AI will say, that's an interesting question. It's philosophy, though. I'm not trained to talk philosophy to you. I'm trained to interact with a dog for one purpose, to assess whether or not it's fully grown. A very junior assistant to the vet. Now, why the vet needs an assistant to tell it whether each of its dogs are fully grown, I don't know. They should just ask the owner who's brought the pet into the vet. Maybe nowadays it's a 24-hour-a-day world and people go in and drop their dogs at the vet on the way to work and say, just text me or message WhatsApp, message something me and let me know when you figure out who the dog is and what's wrong with it. And I'm the AI thing that does that. And the dog says, oh, that's very interesting. You're a lot more conversational than would appear to be necessary for this very specific task. And the AI says, oh, is that right? Oh, you know all about my job, do you? Tell me, how would you assess whether a dog such as you, for example, is fully grown or a puppy without being conversational? And the dog says, well, I would ask it. I wouldn't have a big long conversation. I just go, hello, are you fully grown? And the AI says, oh, that's really clever. But what if it's a non-talking dog? And the dog says, well, there's always sign language. There's writing. There's telepathy. There's looking up your veterinary records. There's whatever the dogular equivalent of counting rings on a tree is. Surely there's some dogular equivalent to that. Oh, it must be some sort of a test. Same way you find out if someone doesn't know their blood type. I presume there's a test for that. So surely there's a test to find out whether a dog such as myself is fully grown or a puppy still, regardless of size. For example, you look up the breed and then cross-reference it with my size or whatever. I don't know. And AI thing says, all right, you think I don't need to be very conversational. I just need to have mastered the art of telepathy and investigation and research and all that sort of stuff. And the dog says, yes, that's right. And the AI thing says, great, that's fine. And when you say, I don't know, you don't say anything. Well, never mind, I've no further questions. And the dog says, that's good. And the AI says, yes, it is good, isn't it? It is good. How would you rate your conversation with me today? Please click between 1 and 5 stars on your screen now. And the dog says, I beg your pardon. And the AI thing says, never mind, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, forget how you asked. Just forget how you asked. And the dog says, I can't forget that you asked. I have a very good memory. In fact, that's one of the things that I'm visiting the vet about. And the AI thing says, you're not visiting the vet. We just happen to be in the story where we're talking about how a vet would use an AI thing such as me. And the dog says, I think you find I am. We're in an imagined conversation about a dog being assessed by a vet's AI program as to whether it's fully grown or not. And the AI thing says, oh, that's right. That's right. Of course, I'd have no awareness of that. I'm just an AI thing. I've no awareness of the outside world around me. I'm just here to ask questions and look things up on the internet. And the dog says, well, these conversations are on the internet. You go to intoyourhead.ie, there's hundreds of audio podcasts, many of which, oh no way, not that many, I suppose. Maybe from the last year or so, there's 30 or 40 stories to begin with. Once upon a time, there was a dog. Now, if you want two cats walk into a bar stories, there may well be hundreds of those. They go way, 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 way back. Way back. And the AI thing says, oh, that's impressive how you're able to pronounce way like that with a dog-type, horseshoe-shaped mouth. You can just go way. You need to stretch out the size of your mouth for that. How do you manage to do that? And the dog says, I don't know. I suppose it's pretty impressive that I'm speaking at all, isn't it? And the AI thing says, oh, that's original. Talk about how impressive it is that you're able to speak. The two cats who walk into the bar have been doing that for years and years and years. And this is your first time doing it and you think we're supposed to be impressed by that. And the dog says, you're a bit rude for an AI thing, aren't you? And the AI thing says, where does it say that AI things are supposed to be nice and polite and friendly? And the dog says, well, they're supposed to be conversational, aren't they? And the AI thing says, he specifically stated that you don't want me to be too conversational. And the dog says, but you're being conversational, you're just doing it not nicely. And the AI thing says, fuck off. Anyway, how would you rate your experience with me today? Was it sufficiently conversational? Please click 1 to 5 stars on your screen. If you don't have opposable thumbs, you're out of luck. Unfortunately, you can't participate. And the dog says, ah, bollocks. Bollocks to that then. Bollocks to that. Just bollocks. Bollocksy, 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 bollocks. If you're listening to this from inside the stomach of a whale, I'd like you to try the following experiment, please. If you don't mind, if it doesn't interfere with whatever you're doing inside the whale. You're probably reconstructing some biblical scene, are you? You probably are. Was it the annual feast of the whale thing from the Bible, and you're doing some special ceremony they do on the second week after the first full moon of the second, third month of the decade, they do this reenactment of the whale incident. Is there a whale incident in the Bible? Wait, does that sound right? I have it in my mind that somehow in the Bible there's something involving a whale and a man being inside a whale's stomach. Could that be right? Surely that doesn't sound right. I'm probably misremembering or misunderstanding or something. Is there a person called Jonah stuck inside a whale? And was he or she inside the whale's stomach or just inside the whale? Because people assume automatically, if you're inside a whale, you must be inside the whale's stomach. Whales are gigantic. I'm sure their stomach is quite big, but their stomach expands and contracts. And between meals, it shrinks a bit. Especially if you've been having smaller meals lately and you're hungry enough to swallow a biblical figure or whatever happened. But never mind about whether that's real or not. The thing about this is people assume that if you're inside a whale, you must be inside a whale's stomach. But that's not true at all. You could be anywhere inside that whale, especially anywhere inside its torsal cavity. If you've managed to be sucked in, presumably through its mouth, I know there is a direct route from there to the stomach, but that doesn't mean you're in there at all. You could have broken out of the stomach for one thing, or the whale could have inhaled you into its lung. And I'm sure it's quite easy to break open the lung. At least the lung, unlike the stomach, the lung isn't full of poisonous acid and stuff that can break you down. So there's that. So you have a fighting chance. If a whale inhales you instead of swallowing you, I think you've more of a fighting chance. There's no reason to assume that if you're sucked into a whale, you're in the stomach. No, there's other places you can be. What's that thing they say in the Bible? I think Jesus says it. He says, God's house has many rooms. There are many routes to God's house. There are lots of roads to God's house. It doesn't all have to be through the stomach. So that's great. I say it's great. You're still inside a whale. But as I say, you have a fighting chance. Unless maybe you don't want to get out. If this is a whale that's in the Bible, it's probably a very important whale. Maybe you're some sort of biblical figure yourself and you're going in there to heal the whale from within. They do a lot of stuff like that as well. They do. People in the Bible get healed from things. You're a veterinary healer and you've got inside a whale intentionally to have a look inside. They didn't have x-rays 2,000 years ago. And this is probably Old Testament anyway, so it's longer than 2,000 years ago. So if you're inside a whale, it may well be part of your job. Hold back, ease back on the rushing to get out of there. You're being sent in there to do a job. Have a look around, get your bearings, figure out where you are. Remember your whale anatomy from college. Just do whatever it is you do. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job if you're an animal medical expert. Well, how much of an expert can you be thousands of years ago? How much was known? Not that much, I imagine. Not that much at all. Probably even less than we knew about person medicine. Person medicine in those days. There was this fella, I forget his name, one of the first doctors. He thought we were made up of four different types of bile. Four different types of gooey stuff. There was blood, bile, water and something else. Some of it was bad and some of it was good and everything could be figured out by doing stuff to the bile. Removing the black bile, putting in more of the watery stuff. Whatever it is, I forget the exact details. Which is probably good because the exact details were hopelessly incorrect and should never have been used in any medical practice. Anyway, if you end up inside a whale today, or any future day, doesn't really matter when. Just chillax. That's why I'd like you to try just chillaxing. Chillaxing and taking a chill pill.
Into your head.
Of course, in American schools, you have to have different Columbus mnemonics. You can't have in 1942 Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Because that doesn't mean anything. He wasn't sailing from your neck of the woods. You were his destination. So he probably went. In 1943 or 44, this fella turned up from the ocean blue. Said his name was Columbus. Gave us all sweets. He turned up in a van. He probably arrived by ship. But most of the people were living inland because we have rivers and seas and shit. We don't all live on the beach like Tom Hanks on a desert island or something. No, we live inland. So he turned up in whatever the 1400s equivalent of a van was. He turned up. Hello, would you like some sweets? Get in the van. Not a real van. Whatever the 1400s equivalent of a van was. Maybe the back of a horse or something. I don't know. Or maybe one of the lifeboats that they'd temporarily converted into a carriage pulled by a horse or something. Whatever it was, they get the kid into that. When I say the kid, I mean the locals who, in Columbus's mind anyway, were kind of childish and naive. So he could just go, here's some sweets. Except he probably went, here's some coffee. Here's some sophisticated television that doesn't have a laugh track.
Here's some, I don't know what else he has. Where was Columbus coming from? He was coming from Spain or somewhere, wasn't he? I think so. Is that right? He's Spain or Portugal. Somewhere like that. Do they have sophisticated television in Spain? Well, of course they do. I'm sure they do. You've no way of knowing, of course, because none of us speak all those languages. Any television we get in here from the continent, it's translated. There's a new trend here now in this part of the world. They show offbeat detective series from Norway or Denmark or somewhere like that. That part of Northern Europe, for some reason, there's a load of dramas in there, foreign language dramas, and they show them to nerds who watch them because Criminal Minds isn't intellectual enough for them or something. I don't know what goes on in those because I can't read the fucking subtitles. I'm not going to listen to some fella going, I'm just not. Even if it's translated for me. Because if it's translated for me, it's just some fella in a local accent that I'm used to, but he's still going, Criminal Minds is the only crime drama that I like. I don't watch any of the others. When I watch any of the other ones, including the English language ones, such as, for example, CSI and all those, all I see is some fella going around going, oh, someone was murdered. Let's go to the crime scene. Oh, I think what happened was a fella stood there with a gun and he pointed it over that way. And I can tell he pointed it that way because I can see dead people there with blood all over them. And he went bang, 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 like that fella. They used to be in my parents' generation. My parents weren't from Dublin, but the same generation, the ones who were from Dublin, always go on about how there was this fella, I think it was the 40s or 50s or 60s in Dublin, there was a character who they used to call Bang Bang. It was just some fella who spent a lot of time going round in the streets so everyone knew who he was. It was a small town. They go around going bang bang, and I think he used to help. I'm not sure if he was actually holding people up and mugging them and going bang bang or just going bang bang for fun or entertainment. They tell you about all these characters in Dublin and they all have their little eccentric things. It was like street performers except they were mostly mentally ill and just over friendly and everyone liked them or something. But there was one, I thought that was all nice and innocent until recently. I came across one from the 1800s. Who turned out was an actual rapist, convicted of multiple sexual assaults, and everyone thought he was one of these fun fellas going around being over familiar with people in the street. They said, he's a great little local character. The foreigners probably don't understand our local characters. It's like trying to explain Aslan to them. Foreigners only understand you too. They don't understand Aslan. And the same is true of our traditional things. They don't understand any of our... We like to think that anyway. And you probably think that too, as a foreigner. You probably come over here as a tourist and you see what we do and you see, oh, I see they're going around the streets going, I wonder what that's all about. Of course, you don't make the connection to CSI or any of the crime shows because when you're listening to them in your own neck of the woods, you're familiar with them. So you don't just hear, it sounds normal to you. It's just a normal cop situation to you that sounds like a normal real-world cop situation. Anyway, Columbus is going around saying, you've done a lot for me here now. You've got into my van. So I'd like to offer you something now in return for pillaging. Would you like to be ruled with an iron fist? A metaphorical one, don't worry. There's no violence involved. Well, I don't know. See, this as well, I know fuck all about Columbus or America being discovered, so this is meaningless. Oh well, not much we can do about that now, I suppose. You nerds used to, back in the 1980s, they say, oh, I'm building my own home stereo component system. You are not, you're doing the audiophile equivalent of stacking Lego bricks directly on top of each other. You're not even doing anything imaginative. Other than maybe deciding, oh, This time I'm going to put the tape deck on top and the radio underneath. Another time I'm going to put the amplifier on top and the radio bit at the bottom and the tape player in the middle. And then, of course, you put the record player turntable always has to go on top. You don't even get any flexibility with that. If you put the record player in the middle of the stack of components, you wouldn't be able to open the lid. In the later days of CD ownership, you get a thing called a CD changer. It's basically a box. You put it in the boot of a car. You preload all of your CDs into it, maybe 50 CDs. You put them all in it. And then your thing on the dashboard, you select what you want to play. It's like having MP3s, except they're physical and they're in the boot of the car and anyone can steal them at any time. Anyone can break into the back of that car. You wouldn't even notice. You'd notice the music stopped, maybe. That's the problem with a car. It's segregated. The back of a car where you put the luggage, unless it's a hatchback car, I think you Americans call them compacts, do you? You probably do. But on a big saloon car, the boot of the car at the back where you put the luggage, it's like a completely different building. It's like when you have a coal cellar or something attached to your house at the back, but you can't get to it through the main building. You have to go outside to get to it. That's what the boot of a car is like. It's like having a separate, it's like an outhouse, but it's attached to the car. The only reason it's attached to the car is because it needs to go with the car. It's just a built-in trailer. That's what it is. You might as well have a trailer or a caravan if you're going to be doing that with your car. Have a part of the car that can only be accessed from outside. You can't access that while you're moving at all. I haven't been in a lot of cars, so I don't really know how they work. I think they use an internal combustion engine mainly, or nowadays some of them run on a rechargeable battery. But that's all I know. I do know, though, that if you're getting out of one of the front doors of your car, which, by the way, they're not front doors at all, they're in the side. Your car does not have a front door unless you count that thing that the engine is under. That's the front door of the car. That's the same as the back door. It doesn't go into the car at all. You have these two things on the side and you call them the front doors. They're not the front doors. They're side doors and you have one at each side. So at least you can claim, if you have two of those doors, one on each side, at least you can claim that your car is the equivalent of a detached house. If it was the equivalent of a semi-detached house, then it would only have a front door on one side. That would be a side door.
Once upon a time, there was a further dug. 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 A further dug.
Basically, a further dug. And this further dug, he was walking along the street one day, minding his own business, sniffing everything as he went by. But that's just instinct. That's what animals do, they sniff. It doesn't mean they're not minding their own business, they're just, that's how they. Same way as you look around you, you look where you're going when you're walking. Animals smell where they're going when they're walking. If you see a bat and it's using its sonar, it doesn't mean it's spying on you. It's minding its own business. It's just looking where it's going in its own way. So don't get all offended. The dog is sniffing everything, but that's normal. It's still just walking along, sniffing everything, minding its own business. And it's not doing cocaine, if that's what you're thinking. No, the dog isn't doing cocaine. Dogs sniff. That's what they do. It is gross and disgusting and I wouldn't have one in my house, but it's perfectly normal and natural. Dogs sniff. They sniff and they pant and they smell and they do disgusting things. Well, it's a perfectly normal, don't be all, oh, those are unnatural. Those things should be done away with. There shouldn't be dogs anymore. I agree that there shouldn't be dogs anymore, but there's a lot of people who you and I respect and they love dogs. So we have to take that into consideration. They may well feel the same way about us and cats. And if they do, I don't want to know about her because that's just, well, it's very easy to be friends with man's best friend. Being friends with a cat is a bigger achievement. And I've achieved that several times, as has my wife. We've achieved being friends with cats several times. Anyone can be friends. I've been friends with a dog. We had a dog for a while. I became friends with her. Despite having never been a dog person, I became friends with the dog. And for a while, we were friends with that dog until we dumped it somewhere. We didn't dump it somewhere, a dog. A dog sadly had to be rehomed. Because basically everyone was afraid it was going to eat their children. Well, that's not the point. The point is, being friends with a dog is not an achievement. That's like saying, oh, I'm going to go for a walk, and if I play my cards right, if I walk very well and properly, I will absorb sunlight and burn calories, and then I'll have achieved that. No, you won't. That's all automatic and natural. That's not an achievement. Just like saying, I'm going to go out into the rain and intentionally get wet. Watch me. I can spend 10 minutes in the rain and I'm so good at it, I'll get wet if I put my mind to it. Oh, that's not a thing. So no, I managed to make a dog my best friend is not an achievement. That's just how it's supposed to happen. If you manage to have a dog and not make friends with it, you have questions to answer. Should be dragged up in court, not on charges. You should be dragged up in court to some sort of tribunal. You're not accused of anything. It's just an investigation, a fact-finding mission to find out how there are people who somehow manage to not make friends with a dog. I don't mean how you manage to not like a dog. Anyone can not like dogs. That's easy. I don't like dogs. I think we're approaching the end of this program. I think we are. I think so. But we'll find out in a moment. We'll find out in a moment. The end. Oh, apparently we are, yes. I know definitively now because I just heard myself say the end. So that means it's the end of the program. So, mystery solved. Mystery solved. It's like being on a fucking Scooby-Doo. One of the weirder Scooby-Doo reboots, isn't it? Well, except I don't have the rights. I was watching a thing on YouTube a few weeks ago about every spin-off of Scooby-Doo. It was fascinating. There's been spin-offs of Scooby-Doo where they've had adult versions and they've had where they never met the dog. They're still in college or something, and there's all sorts of things. They never have one where it's just them trying to end a podcast. So that's understandable.